Good morning. How is everybody? Good, I hope. Yeah? We have a few announcements today. First is, if nobody's busy on Friday from 1 to 6, if you're not busy, there's a blood drive here at the church in memory of John Wilkins. Please come if you can. Please donate. John's an amazing man. Also, Tiffany Miller, there's a fundraiser. It's on the bulletin board. Please help if you can. Do what you can. If you haven't seen these, guess what's in a couple days? Everybody, please vote where God has directed you and God has given you the wisdom. I really believe we're at a pivotal time that God's people need to step up. Please do what we're supposed to do. We have the right to vote. We have the honor to vote. We have the privilege to vote. Please vote. And then last night there was a family that lost their home in Thompson. So please keep them in prayer. It was pretty crazy fire. So please keep them in prayer. With that being said, let's go into prayer. Let's enjoy God's word that Pastor Vince is going to bring to us. Open our hearts and minds. Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for today, for all your blessings and for your guidance, for your protection, Lord, for filling our hearts with wisdom and joy. Forgive us and giving us, Lord, the vision so we can see what needs to be done. And most of all, Lord, our abilities. Let our abilities, O Lord, always give you pleasure. Allow our steps, O Lord, to be guided by your thoughts and by your words. Lift our hearts, O Lord, to you. Help us to give you praise and worship always. Most of all, Father, help us to walk forward and do what needs to be done for your glory. Look after the pastoral teams. Fill their hearts and minds with wisdom. Look after their families, Lord, and protect them. Put a hedge around them, O Lord. Help us as a church, not only here in Mount Carroll, but Big C Church, come together and give you praise. And lastly, O Lord, look after the presidency, whoever it may be. Guide them and direct them. Let them, Lord, guide us back to you. Let them, O Lord, please hear from you. We ask all this in your beautiful name, Lord. Amen.
Thank you. Lord, we pray that your will would be done in this situation. And Lord, for the rest of us who just go through day-to-day lives with our sicknesses and our crazy lives, it seems, we just ask that you would walk with us, that you would look out from heaven and you would see us and you would lend us a hand when you can and when you will. And Lord, that we will thank you and praise you in the midst of all of it. So Lord, this morning we want to say we love you. And it's in the wonderful name of Jesus that we get to pray, and all God's people said, amen. You know, I was thinking in the past couple weeks about God and what he's willing to do for us and what he has done. And I wrote up a sermon, and based on daylight savings time, which is kind of fun to do, But the interesting thing was, is when I typed in the sermon title, I put, "How far will God go for you? How far will God go for you?" And I saved it, and it was funny because it wouldn't let me save it. It says, "Do you want to replace the original one you did and with this title?" And I said, looked at it, and I said, "No, because this is a totally different sermon." And that's the great thing about the Bible is we don't just get one example of how far God will go for us. We get example after example after example where God steps in and does the impossible for his people. So the question we have this morning is, how far will God go for you? He created the world and everything in it so that you and I would have a beautiful place to live in. And it was interesting because I was talking to the Hugheses, and they said, "Man, we got to see some beautiful, beautiful landscape and beautiful things when we went out west." He created each one of us in his image with intellect and creativity to use the creation that he made for us, because he didn't build this building, but he built the things that we use to build this building. And he gave us minds and hearts and desires to create incredible things with all that he has made. And I think he sits back and he looks and he goes, "That's pretty cool." And then he looks at over there what I'm doing. He says, "That's never going to work." And he goes, "You know, he's gonna need some help figuring this one out." And when he saw that we would definitely choose sin and self over a relationship with him, he forged a plan to save us from ourselves and our sins. And he willingly sent his son, Jesus Christ, into the world to die on a cross and be raised from the dead so that we would be saved. He paid the sin debt that we owe him through the death of his son on the cross. And it is truly amazing that he would do something like that for us. And even though he did that, even though he sent his son to show exactly how far he would go to help us, to save us and to reclaim us as his own, so many people still choose to reject him and head off into an eternity in hell without him. And many of us who have chosen to follow him have found ourselves doubting that he could still love us, because we oftentimes sin and fail and fall short of his glory. But that's why Jesus didn't die for us when we were at our best, but he died for us when we were at our worst. Romans 5, 6 through 8 says, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." When we were our absolute worst, he sent his son to die for us so that we could be saved. See, God is for us, my friends. In fact, he tells us he is always looking out for us. In 2 Chronicles 16:9, "For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him." God is looking for people that he can come alongside and show his love and do great things for. But as I shared with you last week, we love those verses, don't we, that say that God's on our side like that. But like Jeremiah 29:11, where he says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, to give you hope in the future." Remember that? That was encased in the middle of God's judgment on Israel, that he was sending him into 70 years of hardship and toil and difficulty. Well, this little passage that we love to look and say, "God's looking for me to give me a helping hand," comes in the middle of one of those very judgments against the people of God. 2 Chronicles 16:7-9, when you look at the whole context, it says this: "At that time, Hanani, a seer, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, 'Because you relied on the king of Aram and not the Lord your God, the army of the king of Aram has escaped your hand. Were not the Cushites and the Libyans a mighty army with great numbers of chariots and horsemen? Yet when you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. You've done a foolish thing, and from now on you will be at war.'" You see, what's incredible is God says, "You're going to be at war forever now because you trusted in yourself, you trusted in another king instead of trusting in me." And what's this? Is this. It doesn't say this. We look at that, and we look at that last one and we go, "You've done a foolish thing, and from now on you'll be at war." We look at it and we say, oh, God's not with us because we're going to be at war. But that's not what God said. God said, you're going to be at war. He didn't say I was going to leave you. He said, I'm still going to look for those who are fully committed to me. And he was going to use this continual struggle, this battle, this war that they were going into as an opportunity for him to show up when they were going to totally rely on him. When they were overwhelmed and their backs are against the wall, were they going to choose him or choose another way? See, ladies and gentlemen, that's a choice that we're all going to make. We're all going to face these choices. If everything that is going on in the landscape, when you read the Bible and you read the newspaper or the news feeds, when you look at them and compare them and see what they say, well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you that the day is coming when we're going to make these big choices, whether we're with God or we're going to try to sneak by under our own power. But God is always looking throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. I wrote down, it kind of makes you feel like that Michael Jackson song where he's saying, I always feel like somebody's watching me. I won't sing it for you like him because my voice isn't that high. But God is always looking. He's looking for us to stand with him, and he's looking for us to help us. Got a couple quick verses. Psalm 33, 12 through 15. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. From heaven, the Lord looks down and sees all of mankind. From his dwelling place, he watches all who live on the earth. He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do. Jeremiah 16, 17. My eyes are all on their ways. They are not hidden from me, nor is their sin concealed from my eyes. We don't get away with sin. We don't. God sees. He knows. And he will question. And I love what Laban had to say in Genesis 31, 49. May the Lord keep watch between you and me when we are away from each other. I love that one. You know why? Some people wonder, why don't you just go punch them right in the nose, Pastor Vince? I'm like, I don't have to. God will. And his fist is a whole lot bigger than mine. And it's really cool because God watches between us. He's got our backs when other people don't. And he's always guarding us. So the Lord sees our sins, he sees our needs, and he's even willing to help us in the midst of all of it. But let's take a close look at the segment out of 2 Chronicles 16, 7 through 9. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. The first things first. The eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen. You know what? Here's the thing. God isn't here to do it for you, but to help you do what he calls you to do. We sit around waiting for him to move heaven and earth for us, and we fail to pick up the shovel. We don't get out the pickaxe. For you fancy pants that have tractors and backhoes and skid loaders and stuff like that, gas him up and fire him up, and he's going to help you do those things. But he's looking for the people that are in need that he can come alongside and help them accomplish what he's calling them to do. And, you know, it's kind of great because we all love that when we see someone do that. I love movies with heroes. I love that moment when Superman and Spider-Man and Wolverine and all the superheroes swoop in and save the day, right? They hear a scream or cry from someone in need, and they rush in and save the day and make everything okay, even though everything's destroyed, they're saved, and it's going to be all right. Where do the writers come up with this stuff? Why do they know it will trip something in our heart? Why do we get excited when we see them hear the cry for help and they swoop into action? Superman with his mighty strength comes in and props up the bridge and the train loaded with people gets across safely to the other side. We love it when Spider-Man swings in and saves his best gal. We love it when Wolverine jumps in and, well, you know, Wolverine, he just comes in and just kills everybody. But that's just weird when you like that stuff. Right, John? But anyways, why is it that that moves us? Where does that come from? It comes from the fact that we all know that we need to be rescued. And we want to believe that there's someone watching over us at all times and is willing to save us. And not only that, we want a hero, but we want to be heroes. And God is the ultimate hero because he saved us from something that no one can save us from. He saved us from sin and death and hell if we trust in his one and only Son. God loves us. And the second thing is this: God is searching every second of every day looking for people to throw his weight behind. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Those whose hearts are sold out for him. Those whose hearts are undivided. Those who are totally his own, his children. Those he died for on the cross. Those who have made him the Savior and the Lord. He wants to swoop in and help those people. People who are 100% his, fully committed ambassadors, obedient soldiers and followers of his commands, those who love him and obey his commands because he is God, creator and savior and sustainer of life. Not just the people who want to stay out of hell free. You see, he's looking for people who are really worth jumping in there for. You know, he's opened the door through his Son and said, all who come to me, I will save. And he's looking for those who took him seriously and have made Jesus Christ Savior and Lord to jump in behind and do amazing things with. You know, it's daylight savings time, and it's always weird, you know, preaching weird topical sermons like this. But as I was thinking about daylight savings time, there was a story in Joshua chapter 10 where we see where God was looking for someone who was sold out for him to help, and he literally moves heaven and earth to do so. Remember who Joshua is. Joshua is one of the 12 spies who went into spying out Canaan, and I'm going to try to get this right. 10 were bad and 2 were good. Did I get that right, Deanne? Yeah. Anyways. Joshua was one of the two spies who went in. The other was Caleb. They had the faith, willingness and the faith to go into the promised land because they saw God's promise and what was there, and they said, we can do this thing. They were one of the two who were considered worthy to enter the promised land because the 10 bad ones in that whole generation turned their back on God's promises and what God can do. And they turned around their back on him, and God says, okay, none of you will enter, but only Caleb and Joshua and the generations to come will enter in by faith. And after Moses died, he became the Israel's leader and made a treaty with a group of people called the Gibeonites. And they found themselves in the middle of a struggle because 5 kings and their armies were going to attack and destroy them. And he begs Joshua for help. And that lays the groundwork for where we're going right now in Joshua chapter 10, verses 6 through 14. The Gibeonites sent word to Joshua in the camp at Gilgal, do not abandon your servants. Come up to us quickly and save us. Help us, because all the Amorite kings from the hill country have joined forces against us. So Joshua marched up from Gilgal with his entire army, including his best fighting men. The Lord said to Joshua, don't be afraid, man. Don't be afraid of them, because I've given them into your hand. Not one of them will be able to withstand you. And after an all-night march from Gilgal, Joshua took them by surprise. The Lord threw them into confusion before Israel, who defeated them in a great victory at Gibeon. Israel pursued them through along the road, going up from Beth Horon, and cut them down all the way to those next two towns. As they fled before Israel on the road down from Beth Horon to that one town, the Lord hurled large hailstones down from the sky, and more of them died from hailstones than were killed by the swords of the Israelites. Now that is pretty cool, right? Here's God having a snowball battle with hailstones and wiping out armies, okay? That is so cool. But wait, there's more. On the day the Lord gave the Amorites over to Israel, Joshua said to the Lord in the presence of Israel, O sun, stand still over Gibeon, O moon over the valley of whatever that is. And so the sun stood still, the moon stopped till the nation avenged itself on its enemies. As it is written in the book of Joshua, The sun stopped in the middle of the sky and delayed going down about a full day. There has never been a day like it before or since, a day when the Lord listened to a man. Surely the Lord was fighting for Israel. How stinking cool is that? God gives them the assurance of victory. You know, that seems to be God's continual storyline with Joshua. Don't be discouraged. Don't be afraid. Be of courage. Be courageous. Be strong. Don't worry. We got this. Haven't I not commanded you to be bold and courageous? And God helps out by hurling hailstones. And Joshua asked for there to be more time to finish off the battle and win the victory completely. And God stops the clock. You know, at the equator, the earth spins at 1,025 miles per hour. That's fast. He hits the brakes on the earth and stops everything for this battle to be done. It's either he stopped the earth and brought it to a screeching halt, or he moved the sun and the moon and the stars and the universe to back up Joshua in the battle. And why did he do it? Joshua was consistently God's man. With Moses in the wilderness, when everyone else doubted, Joshua said, "We can do this." He trusted in God in everything and obeyed God when God called him to do the impossible. When God said, "Giddy up and go," Joshua giddy up and went. God gets behind men and women who sell out completely for him, not from him. You might think it all sounds a little crazy that God would stop time in its tracks to help out a man do the job he called him to do, but that is what God is able to do because God created everything. You see, I was thinking about this in relationship to an article I read a long time ago, and I told Ann about it, and then I got searching for it, and I found it. So since it's daylight savings time, I'm going to redeem a few minutes and read the article to you, all right? Now, this guy says, well, I'll let him talk. Many Christians mistakenly claim that NASA scientists have confirmed the Bible by finding Joshua's missing day. Dr. Tommy Mitchell explains why this is another argument Christians should never use. One of the most persistent urban legends in Christianity is the tale of NASA computers having confirmed the biblical account of the long day of Joshua. The most common version of this story says that some years ago, NASA scientists were doing some advanced computer computations to determine the position of the sun, planets, and the stars. In the course of completing the calculations, the computers ground to a halt. As scientists investigated the problem, they found that the computers had discovered that a day was missing. The team was totally frustrated and unable to solve the problem. Then a member of the team, who was a Christian, recalled that the Bible tells of a missing day. He got out his Bible and read, So the sun stood still and the moon stopped till the people had revenge upon their enemies. Is this not written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and did not hasten to go down for about a whole day. Joshua 10:13. Then, after taking this into account, the NASA team was able to account for 23 hours and 20 minutes of the missing time. But what about the remaining 40 minutes? Well, it was further pointed out in 2 Kings states, "Then Isaiah said, 'This is a sign to you from the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing which he has spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or go backward 10 degrees?' Hezekiah answered, 'It's easy for the thing, for the shadow to go down 10 degrees like normal, but let the shadow go back 10 degrees. So Isaiah the prophet cried out to the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backwards, by which it had gone down on the sundial of Ahaz. 2 Kings 29-11. This 10-degree movement would precisely account for the missing 40 minutes. NASA has proven the Bible. And I was like, well, that's pretty cool. I went on to read. Dr. Mitchell goes on to say that we should not use this. Scientific computer calculation story as factual. So what is the truth? The truth is that the entire scenario is impossible. We can calculate the past or future positions of heavenly objects with great precision. However, in order to detect any missing time, we would need to need an accurate Earth-based clock with which to compare our astronomical observations. Otherwise, how would you know anything is missing at all? However, accurate Earth-based clocks do not go back to the time of Joshua, nor do we have precisely time astronomical observations from that time. The illusion of astronomical precision for dating past events has, in fact, led many people to dogmatically hold unsupportable positions without realizing the multiplicity of variables that form a sandy foundation of contentions. Well, now you know I didn't write that because I couldn't even pronounce half those words. But it's a pretty convenient way for scientists to try to wipe away the notion that God looked down from heaven and saw Joshua, his man, in a battle that if he intervened in and did something amazing, Joshua would be victorious. And God, being God, who created the heavens and earth and everything in it, came alongside Joshua and said, "I will stop it all so you will gain success." But because an atomic clock in Greenwich did not exist at the time of Joshua, this doctor says we can't know for sure that we're missing any time, even though he said we can look at time with regard to past, present, and future things, and we can calculate with past or future positions of heavenly objects with great precision. Even though they use carbon dating to point to their scientific evidence as proof positive, he says we should make no claim to this Bible story as being accurate or true. You want to talk about throwing out the baby with the bathwater. Because you know, I don't care about their scientific observations. I don't care about that atomic clock in Greenwich. I'm going to stick with my Bible that started being compiled by God through his servants 3,466 years ago. And in it, we see the records of the fall of man and how we got into the mess we now live in. We see the desperate need of man and the promise from God and of a Savior who would change everything. And over the course of 1,050 years, there were 356 prophecies directed toward the coming of Jesus Christ. And they are all fulfilled by Jesus, including the coming of a star, the birth of a baby through a virgin, and even his name being Jesus. There are countless stories of flawed men and women like you and I who have found mercy, grace, forgiveness, and help from God when they needed it most. And there are a few stories of a few good men and women who deserved a little help from God Almighty, and he stopped heaven and earth to help them. In it, we see a recorded event testified to by writings outside of Scripture where God was looking for someone fully sold out for him, someone whom he could lend a hand to, and God found Joshua and stepped in. Confused the enemies of Joshua, hurled hailstones from heaven, and began to destroy all of these armies to help Joshua out. Joshua asked God for the impossible. Make time stand still so I can finish the work before me. And God says, yeah, that's cooler than hailstones any day of the week. And in an instant, the earth went from spinning at over 1,050 miles an hour to a screeching halt in the palm of God's mighty right hand. Joshua finished off the enemies of God and God's people, and God asked Joshua, "We good?" Joshua says, "We're great," and he spins the world back up on the tip of his finger once more. So why do I bring? So why do I bring this story up on Daylight Savings Time Sunday? The story of when God was on watch looking for a faithful follower to help out. And he found him and he did. See, God is still on watch today. And his son is seated at his right hand. ready to intercede for his people. And 2 Chronicles 16:9 is still true, for the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those who are fully committed to him. And even though we are flawed and we fail him, he will always lend us a hand and maybe even stop heaven and earth in the process. And Joshua asks if we are going to be those type of people who God will find who is worth helping out or not. And at the end of his life in Joshua 24, 14 through 21, he says this: "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness, and throw away your gods, your forefathers' worship beyond the river in Egypt. And serve the Lord, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your forefathers served beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living." He said, it's your choice. But then he goes on to say, "But as for me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord." And the people's response was this: "Far be it from us to forsake the Lord and serve other gods. It was the Lord our God who himself brought us and our forefathers out of Egypt from that land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all those nations, including the Amorites who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God." And Joshua said to the people, you're not able to do it. And what he said there stands true for us today. On our own, we're not able to serve the Lord because he is a holy God and he's a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, he will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after he has been good to you. But the people said to Joshua, "No, we will serve the Lord." You know, I don't know what you're going through. Some of you are going through a ringer. Some of you are in a battle for your life. Some of you are in a battle for your family. Some of you are in a battle for your communities. It's like you're at war nonstop, and it seems like everything's coming against you. Everything this morning that could go wrong did go wrong before service. What little hair I have left, I was pulling out. And I'm not a perfect guy, a great guy, or anything that should be put on anybody's pedestal. And so in the midst of all that frustration and chaos, I just close my eyes and begin to worship God, and he allows me to get up here and do what I do. And the great thing about it is God will come alongside us even when we've failed him, and he will say, "Get up and let's go." And he's wanting that for you right now. And I want you to know that no matter who you are and how bad you've failed and where you've been, he wants to take you back and he wants to restore your life to something great once again. But it's time for you to turn your back on those things and turn back to him. Because if you don't, there may be hailstones that fall on your head one day. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the question before us today is, who are you going to choose to back you up for the rest of your life? Are you going to trust in a politician? Are you going to trust in somebody on a local level to help you out? Or are you going to trust the creator and sustainer of life to back you up? And are you going to trust him by being the person that he's looking out and saying, "Man, when I hear him say, I'm his. When she says, help, I'm falling," he's going to swoop in and save the day. Or are you going to be the type of the person that has to bounce on the ground before you get back up? You know, you need to choose today whom you're going to serve when the battle gets tough. You need to make a decision right now where your boundaries are before you find yourself over them and go, oh, I need to get back over there. Because too many of us are playing around with the God of all creation who will stop heaven and earth to help us. Too many of us are playing games with him instead of bowing before the God of all creation, the King of kings and Lord of lords. He is not, even though he is, just our Savior. Or the very best friend we could hope for. Or just the best fire insurance that creation has ever known. He is not just a convenient blesser, but he is Lord God Almighty. So how about you this morning? And a planet full of billions of people, have you drawn attention to yourself by being sold out for him so that he's always got his eye on you? Have you caught his attention this morning? And if you need him, are you willing to go forward when he's got your back? Let's have the worship team come up and lead us in our closing song. God of all creation, Son with whom he is well pleased, Jesus Christ, Savior of the world. Holy Spirit, the counselor, the guide and director of all who call on the name of Jesus Christ to be saved. I invite you today to put our feet to the flames. Put our lives to the test. And may we choose this day whom we will serve. Ourselves, our sin, our past, our failures, all that we think matters, or will we serve the God of all creation? The Savior of the world. That still small voice that whispers to us, this is the way, go in it. And if it means to go forward by faith with only you by our side and a sling and a stone or empty-handed, may we go boldly because we serve the Lord God Almighty. And if in the process we die, may it be a glorious death for you. Because your promise holds true that all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. It doesn't say we will get out of here without being staked out, burnt up, shot down, or destroyed. But it says we will be with you in paradise forever. So may we be bold enough to be the men and women of God who love you and serve you with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. In the wonderful name of Jesus we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Let's stand as we sing our closing song. My hope is that's the prayer of your heart and will be the attitude of your life. And he will see it as you follow him and love him by obeying him and everything that he does and everything he says and wherever he sends. You know, things don't get done around here without a little bit of help from each and every one of us, whether from the lights being on or the equipment being run or the things that we do. And so if you want to help out and chip in as God leads, offering plates are by the doors, or you can send it in to the address on the website as you give of your tithes and offerings. So let's go before the Lord. God, thank you that you see us, and you don't just see our sins, you see our success. You see our need, and you provide. You see our weakness, and you send strength. You might get into a great big snowball battle with us, and help us win, help us find victory. You might deliver us from sin in our lives and give us victory over that. But you never leave us, nor do you forsake us. And you're always looking for just the right moment to stop heaven and earth on our behalf. So, Lord, today, may we choose you. For you're the only one. You're the only way. You're the only truth. And you are life. And it's in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Have a great week, folks. See you next week.